Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The period of history when the Roman Catholic Church ruled so much of the Western society is called the Dark Ages, around the time of 400 to approximately 1400 A.D. Where was the true Church of Christ during this span of years? And why is this question such an important one? Now, members of the Church of Christ reject being identified as a denomination. They are dedicated to the removal of denominationalism that has caused such widespread religious division and paved the way for the advance of atheism. They are intent on being just the church of which you read in the New Testament. We take seriously the prayer of Jesus in John the 17th chapter for unity among those who profess to follow Christ, with the desire that all people simply follow the Scriptures as Scripture demands. They reject the creeds, the disciplines, the catechisms, the manuals, the prayer books, the confessionals, and all other so-called authorities that are used by many in religion. The name Christian is the name disciples of Christ were called in Scripture, and this is the name that we seek for all to wear without other names that divide. To refer to those of the Church of Christ as members of a denomination is to show a contempt for their convictions, their goals, and their practices. And this is done either ignorantly or maliciously, either being reprehensible. Whatever be the motives of those who would call the church a denomination, it is a false charge, even though some who call themselves a Church of Christ may have adopted denominationalism and have not remained a faithful church of the Lord. Things religious should be done according to the New Testament pattern. The New Testament is the blueprint to follow in producing Christianity in our own century. When Moses was given directions for building the tabernacle in Exodus the 25th chapter, he was instructed to build according to the pattern God gave him. This idea was repeated in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Following other so-called gospels was condemned in Galatians chapter 1 and 2 John 9 through 11. And we're to neither add to nor take from God's word, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And this is that which faithful members of the churches of Christ are committed to do. We do not seek to do anything except what was done by New Testament authority regarding what we believe, how we become a Christian, our worship, our work, our organization, our manner of life, and all other matters of Christianity. Peter's teaching is taken seriously when he wrote, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God," 1 Peter 4 in verse 11. There should be a "Thus saith the Lord" for religious authority, and men should neither fall short of it nor presume to go beyond it. This purpose and mission cannot be wrong, because it is what the Bible teaches is supposed to be. Daniel prophesied the establishment of the kingdom of God in Daniel chapter 2 when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, in which he saw an image of four parts that Daniel said represented four empires. During the days of the fourth of these empires, Babylon being the first, God would establish his kingdom. The Roman Empire was the fourth empire, and it was during that period that the Lord's kingdom came, which is the church. But please notice that Daniel's prophecy said the kingdom would stand forever. So again we ask, where was the church during the days of the Dark Ages? It certainly was not the Roman Catholic Church, that the apostate body that turned into something so foreign from the New Testament revelation. Rather, the Roman Church is the result of the apostasy of which the Apostle Paul had spoken. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught seven parables regarding the kingdom. Beginning with verse 3, he taught the parable of the sower sowing seed. The seed fell on various kinds of soil, soil which represents the hearts of people. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is identified as the Word of God. and we note the varied reactions and responses by people to the teaching of the Word. The point of the parable is that the gospel, the seed, must be sown in the hearts of people. Whenever and wherever the gospel is preached, and people hear it, believe it, and obey it, the Lord's church, His kingdom, will be produced. Even if one cannot trace congregations of faithful Christians down through the ages, and none can, so long as the seed remains, the church has not been banished nor destroyed from the earth, because the life is in the seed. Let me illustrate. One may take kernels of corn, plant them, and reap a harvest of corn, just like the harvest that formerly existed, even if there had not been any harvest for many, many years previously. The corn existed in seed form, even if not as a stalk, or an ear, or a grain. The seed of truth was sown on Pentecost, dear people, and what was produced was the church belonging to Christ. If people will take that same seed, sow it into honest and good hearts today, can any other harvest come forth? Does not the seed reproduce after its kind? New Testament Christians lived nearly 2,000 years ago. Their religion was founded on the truth of God. Why should not people today take that same truth and be what they were? Now, some place great emphasis on trying to trace a continual line of succession from Pentecost until now. Friend, this is neither possible nor even necessary to have the Lord's church today. For any church to make an attempted tracing of its history, it must of necessity pass through the years of apostate bodies, various Protestant digressions, and Romanism, and other tangents from the truth. And should we be descendants of such things as that? Those were churches that came into existence as a result of tares of false doctrines, rather than the seed of the kingdom. We actually know only fragments of the work of the apostles and the early history of the church and what happened in succeeding years. Peter and Paul dominate the New Testament historical record, and what other apostles did, we have no inspired record to any large extent. It is entirely possible that faithful Christians have existed in various places down through the many years since Pentecost. Now, we are not affirming that, because we could not prove that, even though now and then there are hints and traces of evidence in that direction. But what of that anyway? That is not what is important as far as our own need to be Christians and having the knowledge of how to become and remain faithful Christians. Regardless of where members of the church may or may not have been during the Dark Ages or any other time since Pentecost, the seed, the Word of God, is with us in the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and all-sufficient Scriptures, as is taught in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. From the Scriptures we learn whatever we need, and nothing is lacking therein. Now, Romanism is not the New Testament church. Its doctrines and practices vary too widely from God's revelation to deserve such an identification. And the same thing is true regarding the Protestant denominational bodies. But there is a way to have the church and be the church of which you read in the New Testament and to know the truth of God. Simply take God's pattern, the Bible. Follow it intently and faithfully. Either find the church that fits the pattern or take the pattern and sow the seed and produce the church among people again. Therein one can learn everything that is necessary to being a member of the church of which we read in the New Testament. Now, this matter of identifying the Lord's church has too often been complicated by irrelevant demands and assumptions and presumptions and misconceptions. Inasmuch as our salvation, friend, is at stake, it's time for plain words and unvarnished truth. Where was the church? If not in visible existence among men, it existed in seed form because the seed remained. Where is the church? Wherever people have heard, believed, obeyed, and remained faithful in the doctrine of Christ, the Lord's church exists. And churches that began at the wrong place and the wrong time, wearing the wrong name, practicing the wrong practices, teaching the wrong doctrine, organized the wrong way, worshiping the wrong way, cannot fit the inspired pattern. And so our plea is for the church that is revealed in God's Word. And this cannot be wrong. This is right because the Scriptures are right. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.